go ahead.
When I think about the question you asked, so what does the story of Nicodemus mean for our pluralistic, multi-culture, multi-faith world? And, you know, I think about three points. First point, the whole, he talked about being born again. I think that's one of the central points of the teachings of the Messiah Jesus, what I call the science of spiritual realization. And what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus here is the fact of realizing, yeah, that's what he's talking about with the being born again. The first birth is when you come through your mother's womb, and that individual spirit, right, identifies with the physical material world. But somewhere down the line, that individual spirit, especially if you're studying the scripture, etc., like that, realize that he's a spiritual being. And that is what the Messiah Jesus was talking about with his new birth, the good news. And with that realization comes something else Messiah Jesus was talking about in this particular chapter, is he was giving us the nature, the attributes of God, the life-giving creative spirit, so we would understand it when he compared it to the wind. You know, you can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. And then when you by giving us the attributes of God, the life-giving creative spirit, and this particular being realizing that they are a spiritual being instead of the physical material world at first birth, then the fact that we are made in the spiritual likeness of God, the life-giving creative spirit, which we know that God, the life-giving creative spirit, is an eternal being. So this means that we, as spiritual beings, we are also eternal beings. You know, death is just a transition. So that's the good news that the Messiah Jesus was talking about. The other thing that comes into play when I look at this particular gospel is the environment that made Nicodemus approach Jesus at night. And I think this is very important in understanding the whole history of Jesus, because the Messiah Jesus lived his entire life on earth in an occupied situation, you know, from 63 BC when Pompey occupied Judea. And then at the same time, this produced a resistant movement called the Zealots, who wouldn't compromise because they know Rome was a polytheistic theology that they had, and it just didn't fit in with Judaism, which was monotheism, worship of one God. And so this environment was a lot going on. It was they would have been the terrorists of the day, you know, trying to bring down Rome in terms of occupy. And then you got to remember that they also had a history, a recent history, of the Hasmonean, the Maccabees, who also led a rebellion against the polytheistic Greek that had influenced the Messiah Jesus. So Nicodemus, who no doubt in my mind was a secret disciple of Jesus, as the scriptures say, so was Joseph of Arimathea, Lazarus, a lot of others who were people who had money, you would say, resources during that time. They was in the upper class, but they followed the teachings of Jesus, couldn't do it openly. So those are the three main points when we talk about Jesus. We got to talk about him. So many people want to talk about Jesus without bringing in the fact that there was an underground movement going on. You know, there was an underground war trying to overthrow the whole Roman Empire. That's what led to the temple being destroyed in 70 AD. And that must be discussed, that must be taken into context, because that had a lot to do with all of these gospels, the various differences in them, even though they still had the similarities, because the center point of all these numerous gospels that they had was the teachings of the Messiah Jesus. It's just people looked at it different. But at the center point was still the teachings of the Messiah Jesus. And one more point Jesus used the whole concept of the story of Job to show, you know, Job symbolizing the word of God and how God put protection around the word. So God protects that word. You know, it's everything that comes through the mind of me as a physical material world, they can change that. But when you pick up that scripture, you see that they can't change the words of Jesus, and they can't change the words of the prophets. They can change the words of the commentaries who's making comments on these particular prophets or the Messiah. But those words, the words of Jesus or the words of the prophets, the satanic forces, you know, just have no power over them. Mm-hmm.